You're listening to Trope or Not to Trope. We're your hosts, Kelly,
Kristen,
and Ray.
Hello. Today, we're talking about one of the most hated, or at least controversial, tropes out there, insta-love.
Boo.
Good. From Shakespeare to fairy tales, love songs to poorly written romance arcs, insta-love is a trope as old as time itself. This trope involves a couple falling in love with each other over an extremely short period of time. Insta-love certainly stretches across genres, and at times means love at first sight. However, it doesn't have to be so immediate, as the trope can just mean an accelerated development in a relationship. Oftentimes, this involves forced proximity and intense attraction, occasionally sprinkled with poetic language. Okay, first question. Are you more of a fan of when a couple starts liking each other early on, or when a couple has more of a slow burn romance?
I like it when it's paced well for what the story is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a cop-out answer. That means both, as long as it's good.
Do you have a preference, though? Like, have you realized that you tend to like one story more over another? Or, like, if it's a series, how fast would you like for the couple to actually get together, or kiss?
I guess if it's a longer piece, then I want mm-hmm. there to be some time in there for the romantic tension to get going. And, like, because it's, I suppose it depends on what your thing is about. If we're talking personal preference, my mm-hmm. kind of ideal romance arc is usually something like enemies to lovers or rivals to lovers. So, because I think that gives you the full range of romantic tension. I'm okay if they're attracted to each other right away. Mm. And actually, I think that's usually better if they both think the other is hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like Ray was kind of saying, like, slow burn gives you more time to develop things. But I honestly, like, as long as it works for the story, if we're talking like a strictly romance story, if they fall in love in the beginning of the story, like, what's the rest of your book? But if we're talking like a fantasy, if two characters like each other and they want to get together at the beginning and then face the big end of the world monster together, I'm like, sure, I'm here for it.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like a good example of this is, like, I think Romeo and Juliet does it really well because they are naive and impulsive characters because they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the actual story is about how they can't be together because their families hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So because the tension is somewhere else, it's not on just the romantic tension. You're not sitting here like, will they, won't they? Or, like, you know, do they actually like each other? Yes. Yeah, they like each other. Now we can get on with the rest of the plot.
Yeah. Like, I think that can also work in things that are, like, going through the foibles of a relationship. Like, if they get together at the beginning, then it can show, like, the ups and downs of a relationship versus the ups and downs of, like, before they get together, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, like any good story, as long as there's some kind of conflict or tension,
yeah,
it's fine.
I also have to believe that the characters would act that way. I know insta-love can be a plot device, but sometimes it happens with characters when I'm like, wait, but why do they like each other?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't mean to echo you two, but I agree. Obviously, it does depend on the story. However, I think I tend to, if it's not a romance story, if it's something like a fantasy, a sci-fi, a mystery even, and if it's like a longer series especially, I honestly think I lean more towards slow burn.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to know the characters when they aren't with each other first. Mm. Before seeing them together and then seeing them evolve from there, I'm perfectly fine with having the characters wait to like do something, kiss or be intimate or whatever near the end of the first book. And then the second book kind of like develops that relationship. I feel like I prefer that more. But I'm sure there are stories, and I don't know how I feel also about, okay, so these characters took a while in the first book to get together, but now they're together, and in book two, they're separated for entirety of book two. I hate that. I wish that would go away, but it's a way to build that tension we were talking about, but a lot of the times it's done poorly.
Like, I understand why they do that. I just usually, gosh, I usually think it isn't worth it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you do get more tension, but you're also just kind of jerking your audience around if you do that too much. If you don't have a compelling enough reason. Sometimes there's a compelling enough reason why they end up apart and they're like trying to work their way back together and there are other things going on. Yeah, it can be done, but most of the time you're just jerking your reader around with romantic tension.
I still don't like it, even if they have a legitimate reason, because I think a lot of authors overestimate how much readers care about their plots.
Oh.
Like, if you're writing a romantasy, like, people are generally here for the characters
and the
characters falling in love. And when you separate them, like, suddenly, oh, you actually have to be good at world building and plot and political intrigue. Uh-huh. And then,
if you are, I don't know. I remember being a kid who is really into romance. And even if you had an otherwise good story or show, sometimes I would be like, yes, but when is the romantic plot line going to
yeah, exactly. Like, you set this up like it's about the characters and the romance, and then you're like, oh, it's not about that anymore, and we're like, but that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I question on something you had said earlier, Kelly. You said you like it more when they get together at the end because you like to see the characters develop when they're not in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I don't know if this question is answerable, but I'm wondering if you like that because it's better, or you like it because so many authors just use the relationship mm-hmm. as a personality trait
mm-hmm.
and
like don't
develop the characters.
I think it depends on the author. I know it's always about, it depends, but, but I have seen the mistake of authors just writing a book and these characters get together immediately and they've always been together, it feels like, and I can't imagine them apart. And I feel like that takes a little bit away. Again, going back to the, and I feel like partially this is true for romance too, like you need to have two separate characters that are fully fleshed out. But what I'm thinking of is like a fantasy or a mystery or sci-fi where like there's other stuff going on, and I want to know what the two characters separately would do, and then I want to know what they do together. I feel like if we don't know how they act when they're apart, how are we supposed to know? At least for me, I feel like it's a little bit easier to show how are we supposed to know when they triumph together. And I feel like that impacts readers a little bit more. However, I will say there are definitely stories where there are always exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I welcome any listener to like send an exception and tell us how much you love InstaLove, like, or at least characters getting together at the beginning, I should say, or like earlier than halfway through. Because I feel like, I don't know, maybe it is more of a personal preference, but I would think that it would be a little bit better of a story if we got to see these characters develop in their relationship separately.
It doesn't bother me. Like, as long as there's enough character development even if the characters get together at the beginning of the story, as long as they have enough individual character development while they're together, mm-hmm. like, I think that's fine. I just think so often when they're in a relationship, authors are like, oh yeah, that's one of their core personality traits. I'm like, no.
Yeah, like, I could see it, obviously, for a romance, that makes sense. Of course, they're gonna at least flirt with one another and, like, test the waters early on. I'm like, of course, I'm okay with that. Because you have more room for that. But in a story where that's not necessarily the focus, I feel like sometimes there's more room for error if those characters get together too soon. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying it's a little bit harder to pull off.
That's fair. I think I'd still disagree, but, like, to each their own.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that when I Googled this, all of the articles were like, most popular insta-love books, or why insta-love isn't a bad thing. And it was all, like, super positive, which kind of surprised me. So I don't think people are as against this as they used to be. I don't know if
that's, or at least it's always been assumed that people are against it. I don't know.
They were, like, real strong against it for a minute there. And so I don't know if it just kind of fell out of popularity and now it's coming back and people are like, yay, or if it just people stopped caring about that because there are other things to hate now.
Yeah. I mean, it does make you wonder, because like I was saying, this trope is very old. Like, this is not a new concept. So I'm wondering if it isn't, like, the cycles of tropes. Yeah. And, oh, we haven't seen insta-love in a while. Maybe we're craving insta-love. And it's not, well, we'll talk about whether or not we should trope or not to trope it at the end. But it's fascinating to look at. Okay, so insta-love can be useful. As an author, usually only has 300, 400 pages to convince readers two characters were meant to be. And especially handy if the story isn't a romance. Mm-hmm. But too easily can this fall into lazy writing. The main reason why this trope is so hated at times is that people feel like insta-love is completely unrealistic. When we're talking about love at first sight, which we see a lot of in Disney classics, most adults realize that insta-love doesn't necessarily mean these people have the purest, most long-lasting love for one another. Because as we grow older, we come to realize this isn't the norm. This may be why we sometimes see insta-love crop up in young adult novels, as characters are highly emotional teenagers. Mm-hmm. And, of course, YA definitely has a few stories involving slow burns, too. I just think insta-love reflects that deeply emotional time in a person's life and could potentially be a benefit if done well. Mm-hmm. Whether or not love happens instantly or over the course of days or weeks, the true reason why insta-love can be troublesome is when the reader or viewer feels like the couple has not put in enough time with one another. I mean, when characters will literally die for one another, yet know next to nothing about the other person other than, oh, you're hot. It's a stretch for a lot of readers.
But he's hot, though.
But he's hot. Yet, there are moments where the reader is more accepting of characters who fall for one another because it feels like they know each other on a deeper level, even though they've only known each other for a few days. So, how short of a time frame does it need to be in order for the romance to be considered insta-love? Or does time span matter at all? Or is it more about the writer's execution of the trope?
I think you had a point there with how it isn't as much the time that's passed so much as the emotional impact that they have with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you see it more with high emotion teenagers. So I think if the story hits the right beats, the characters can at least be enamored with each other very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I think part of that, you can run into your, like, disaster bonding or whatever you want to call it, where, like, two people are stuck in an elevator and fall in love in the 3 hours they're together. Or I think a lot of it is less time frame and more screen time. So, like, depending on Like, you can have an entire novel that takes place over, like I said, a couple hours, and mm-hmm. I would believe that arc because it the entire book was dedicated to it, as long mm-hmm. as it was done well. Like, mm-hmm. or you can have a novel that spans 3 years, and if the characters fall in love in the first 10 pages, even though it spanned 3 months, like, I'm not going to believe it as much because it mm-hmm. they only gave us 10 pages, you know?
It feels like yeah. you didn't really see it happen.
Yeah. Which, granted, if that's not the point of your... If the love story isn't mm-hmm. the point of your story, like, you can come off the first page and say, Timmy and Laura were in love, and I'll be like, yep, they were.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like... I feel like it works for me if I'm emotionally invested in this relationship. I feel like, personally, I need a little bit more than the writer telling me they're in love. I need like the characters to have chemistry on the page or the screen to like fully accept it. And maybe that's just, I don't know.
That makes sense to me because I think I've very much had the experience before where the narrator is bopping along and tells me these people are in love and tells me that's a thing. And I'm like, cool, they're in love. But then when you see them actually interact and they have no chemistry whatsoever, the work kind of argues with itself, if that makes yes. sense. So yeah. I don't know. I'm usually ready to accept the narrator's idea until shown otherwise, if that makes
yes.
sense.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I want some evidence or something to back it up. I don't just want like... the narrator to tell me, oh yes, these characters are in love, and then I don't feel it. I want to be able to feel it. And I think it doesn't matter so much, like Kristen was saying, it's more about how long we spend, like how much screen time they have. Yeah. And then also what is being done with that screen time.
Yeah.
Again, going back to chemistry between the two characters. But yeah, it could be a story that the first book is like, oh yeah, they've been together on this road trip for 3 days. And I'm like, oh yeah, I totally believe they're in love now. Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. you back it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to your comment about one being ready to die for the other after knowing each other for a few hours, like uh-huh. another thing you have to consider is like how intense their love is. Like I absolutely believe that two people would meet each other and be like, yeah, you're hot. I like you. But uh-huh. like if two people meet and then one of them is like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with you. You're my soulmate. I'm going to die for you. I'm like, uh-huh. really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, what about those situations where it's like you are trapped in a situation where like these two people, if they don't work together, they will die. And then by the end yeah. of like a short period of time, which in the book, it doesn't feel like it.
It's like one of your characters is more self-sacrificing than the others.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. That again comes back to the screen time and how much I believe it based on previous yes. actions these characters have made or even future actions uh-huh. that the character makes. Like if you come out the gate, like, meeting someone, falling in love, I'm going to die for you 10 pages in, and then like 20 pages later, they do the same thing for a puppy they meet. Like, uh-huh. I'm like, oh, okay, that's just the kind of person
that's
you just are.
Them. That's uh-huh. you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, back to Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare also sets up Romeo's particular emotions with like how he's moaning about a different girl at the beginning mm-hmm. of Romeo and Juliet, and he's so depressed about it and everything, and then mm-hmm. he sees Juliet and instantly he's in love with her. Previous like girlfriend completely forgotten.
mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm encountering this next bit more in books, which I'm fascinated with, like just this take. But okay, so sometimes a character admits that they've been in love with the other person from the very beginning, or there is sometimes an epiphany from a perspective character that they've been in love with the main character all along. So how do you two feel about these kinds of reveals or revelations, and can it be done right, and then how can it be done wrong?
I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, I usually do not like these.
Okay, the thing is, either I see it coming and I'm like, yeah, obviously they're in love with each other, in which case I'm annoyed for the entirety of the book because I see it and the characters don't. Or I don't see it and it comes to the end and I'm like, that's bullshit because I didn't see it and it's nowhere in the text, so it's obviously not right. Like, there's not really a middle ground on this one that would work. Hmm. I'm sure there are exceptions, but for me, it's generally not that it.
Makes sense. My very particular beef with this one is, okay, I do think this one can be done right, but generally I hate it, especially when it's in when it's in enemies to lovers and there isn't an obvious thing where, like, oh yeah, this person had to act like a jerk to protect you or something like that. If the couple starts out hating each other, let them own up to that. Sure, they can be attracted to each other right along, but sometimes there's this point at the end where they're like, no, I never hated you. I was in love with you. And just let them have hated each other. It's okay. Yes. Let them mm-hmm. have misjudged each other. Let them have had an arc where they actually fell in love.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It kind of negates the entire love story uh-huh. because you're like watching this develop and you're like, yay, character development. And you get to the end and the author is like, just kidding. There was no character development. This has been the case from the beginning. And you're like, uh-huh. well, that's dumb.
No. You're also sitting there like, no, it wasn't. They were very much acting like they hated each other.
Yes. Yeah. And then you just, like, question all of the character's actions through the entire thing. And not in a good way. Like, not in an interesting, oh, she pulled a con. But, like, in a, like, this is terrible.
Yeah. It usually makes me angry. Because yeah. I'm like, this is clearly uh-huh. not intended. Or uh-huh. at least lazy. Uh-huh. I don't like this.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, but what about, okay, what about you have the main character, right? And partway through, we won't even say, like, when they first meet. We'll just say, like, a little bit way, like, a few chapters after that, they're starting to, like, get to know this character. Mm-hmm. And, or even before then. I mean, maybe it is when they first met. But anyway, okay, so they're getting to know this other character, the love interest. Yeah. And they have moments where they start appreciating this other character, or they start noticing things about this other character. And so but they still are like logicking it away, like, oh, I cannot love this guy, like, this guy is like my enemy, or like this guy is, you know, too selfish to blah 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 blah, or this guy is like something that I hate, I don't know. But but there is definitely a layer of like the whole logic circles of like, no, this couldn't possibly be real, but really the reader understands, like, oh, you like this person. I do like that. It's just the love interest one is not usually well done.
I think that can work. I think it generally still annoys me because it comes back to what we've talked to in previous episodes of like, how many times can you go back and forth before it's too many?
Yeah.
And so I think I don't even want to give a time frame, but you don't have that long of a time where a character can be like, I like him, no, I don't. I like him, no, I don't. Like, before I just get really annoyed. Especially because the person that this character likes is usually like being great the entire time and like taking care of her dog and watering her plants and being nice to her mom and like all of that. I'm like, why do you still hate him? Like, why?
Fair. I just think it's sometimes cute.
Yeah, no, I like the ones where it feels like she has a, I say she because it's usually a, but I suppose it could be either way. But I like the ones where if she has a pretty good reason for disliking him and she finds herself being attracted in spite of herself. But like, so she has to keep arguing with herself, like, no, I can't like him. Like, if she has a good enough reason and she's trying to keep reminding herself of it, like, I'm for that. Like, that rings more true to me. I'm generally for, well, Pride and Prejudice, right? So, Lizzie doesn't like Darcy. She seems to have good reasons for doing this. Namely, he has insulted her family, looks down on her family, and also that she thinks that he cheated Wickham. So she's here with pretty good reasons why she doesn't like this guy. She doesn't trust this guy, even though he is rich and whatever else. Like, he has to, one, like, tell his side of the story, and essentially that Wickham is lying, and then he has to prove himself that he actually cares about her and, like, will support her and basically her family with the whole thing where he helps with Lydia and all of that. Just, I'm for all of that. I am for Lizzie turning down his initial proposal and also being kind of wary of him until you get to, like, the later points where they've both kind of gone through the whole arc.
She's not, like, going back and forth, like, oh, I like him, no, I don't. Oh, I like him, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And, like, she, I don't even think she, like, I think she might mention in passing that he's attractive, but, like, and he has money, so that's attractive. But, like, overall, she's like, no, he's awful. Like, what are you that talking about? Sense. No.
Yeah, she keeps insisting, and there are some times where it's like, I think the lady doth protest too much.
Well, yeah.
But yeah. No, I see your point. Like, if there's a character, yeah, I don't really have, I don't usually have time for a character that's like, oh my gosh, I love him so much. Oh, wait, no, I don't. Oh, wait, I do.
Yeah. In most modern contemporary, like, enemies to lovers stories, you get that kind of, like, he said one mean thing once and I'm going to hate him for the rest of my life. And then he's just a perfectly perfect gentleman for the rest of the book. And she's like, no, I hate him. I can't believe he watered my plants. And
I'm
like,
okay, well, yeah, not cool.
Nope. I will say I do have space for, like, the sort of toxic attraction idea where someone is attracted to someone that they know they shouldn't be, because that's, you can kind of put that in that category. So, like, there I have space for the, like, I love him, I don't love him, if that makes sense.
I definitely have space for that one, too. Especially if there are other things going on. If that's the entire story, absolutely not. But if there are other plots, then sure.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, in the context of insta-love, like, there is insta-love, and we don't find out about it until the last chapter. Absolutely not.
Well, yeah, of course. Yes.
I loved you from the moment I saw you. No, you didn't. You thought I was hot.
Exactly. So many ways to do it wrong. Okay, so we kind of heard, like, veered off a little into the enemies, rivals to lovers territory, but that's okay. Because I kind of want to talk about insta-hate for a second. So when we talk about insta-hate, so when a character instantly hates another character, do you feel like you're more accepting of a character instantly hating that other character rather than instantly loving them? And
no.
Okay.
Nope.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I hate it worse. Like, yes. I can get on board with insta-love. Like, generally, it's stupid. But again, if that's not the point of your story, I'm like, okay, you love each other. Sure, let's move on to other things. But when there is insta-hate, like I was saying before, like, it's always based on one moment that you're like, this is obviously a misunderstanding. Because, of course, he can't actually be awful, because then why would she fall in love with him? And so it's like, this girl overhearing half a conversation, and then she, like, hates him for the rest of his life, and she sees him being kind to a puppy, and she's like, oh my gosh, he must hate cats. And then it's the stupidest thing. I am not here for it.
I'm not against this one. I think I'm just kind of, one, I'm kind of tired of it, and I've also seen too many examples where it was for something too small, especially in the context of, okay, so romance, the genre of romance has such a hard job because it knows that you are here for the romance plot. So it had better be giving you romance all the time, Also, you can't just have romance all the time because, like, then you don't have time for the tension to develop or anything like that. So you have to have other plot things going on. So it's constantly fighting itself. Mm-hmm. And because you know it's romance, you are alert to all of the regular romance tropes. So when you begin a romance novel as a reader, you're already watching for, like, okay, where's the love interest? Like, mm-hmm. you're watching for it. And if it's, like, a hot guy that she hates immediately for something small, it's like, oh, there's the love interest. It's like, yep. Found him, here we go. Like, and just, it kicks me out so quickly.
Yes. So kind of like you were saying earlier, Ray, like, I think this needs to leave space for characters to actually hate each other, because so many of these insta-hate things are, yeah. like I said, they're based on misunderstandings, or they're just like things mm-hmm. that happened once and then never happened yeah. again. And it's just like, oh, we fell in love, but I was so blinded by my own prejudice. And then I'm like, no, you're not writing Pride and Prejudice because you're bad at this, but that's another topic. It's just, it needs to be leave room for them to not be like genuinely awful, but to actually dislike each other, because that yeah. does happen in real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Pride and Prejudice was once again my example for something that did this well, because Lizzie hates Darcy pretty quickly because she overhears mm-hmm. him insulting her and her family. It's like, cool. She is under no obligation to like that man.
Yeah. Yeah, Pride and Prejudice does it well. I will give mm-hmm. it that.
Yeah. Yes. So, okay, I'm good with this one if it's a believable misunderstanding.
Okay, yes.
So, if the character is immediately a complete jerk, yes, I would hate them too. But most of the time, like we were saying, more often, like, romance novels especially pull their punches with this one because they need to turn this hated love interest into an acceptable love interest by the end of the yes. book. Yeah. So it's usually something.
Pride and Prejudice wasn't even a misunderstanding, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he actually was, like,
he actually was awful, but, like, for good reason, and we come to understand why. And, like, that's how you have to do this. You can't just do, oh, he said half a bad sentence about me once that I heard out of context.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I'm sorry, I keep hitting on that. I read it in like three of an author's books, and it drives me insane.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Mm-hmm. That's why I had to bring it up, because I keep seeing it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. And it's not done well.
Oh, because it's hard not. To do things well.
It and is.
Like, if you I just know. Throw something on there, then you can get moving with the rest of your story. But yep. you also have to ask the question, like, sort of, okay, at what point, like, every time you cut a corner, it's kind of like you have to be, well, what for? Because you can mm-hmm. cut one or two corners, but if your story is entirely made of cut corners, it's like, why mm-hmm. did you bother? What were you accomplishing?
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, question. How do you guys feel about this insta-hate thing in fantasies? Like, not even romanticies, but just, like, fantasies with a romantic bent. Like,
ooh.
Is it more acceptable when it's, like, a daughter and son of rivaling kingdoms or whatever it is.
He's part of the enemy. I hate him on principle.
Yeah. Because theoretically it should be better, but it still bothers me because, like you were saying, right, you know the tropes going in and you know they're going to end up love interest at the end. And so it's just kind of tiresome to listen to them be like, he's my enemy, but he's hot.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. I love the way you said that.
I hate this trope. I do. I hate insta-hate.
I feel like when you do romanticies, it has all the problems of doing, like, romance genre things, but now you also have the added problems of, like, plastic recycled fantasy tropes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, and bad world building.
Yeah, so if you want this to ring more true, you have to go closer to, like, the actual epic fantasy routes, which usually makes it harder to do a good mm-hmm. romance because people don't have the patience for your plot dumping, and people also, and you also, like, it's also just hard to come up with all of that real world building and all of that compelling plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do agree. I think it's usually done poorly. Trying to think of an example where it was done well. Because I could see it, like, theoretically, I feel like this should work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are on opposite sides of a war, you're going to hate that other person. Usually, well, like, not usually, but, like, sometimes a lot of different characters and stories will have this idea, like, oh, we've been fed that this country is, like, we're at war with them and we should hate them. And, like, that happens mm-hmm. in, unfortunately, real life. Yeah. So I could see that being a plausible thing. However, I don't, like, as far as romanticy goes, if we're talking romanticy specifically, I feel like I usually don't see that. Like, if it is trying to go for the, oh, they're on opposite sides of the border and, like, I hate them immediately. I agree. I think because it is a sub-genre of fantasy, of romance, I'm, like, already keyed into, well, clearly this is annoying me because I know they're going to be together. Yeah. But I wonder if it wouldn't be... I don't know. I think it's possible, but needs to be done carefully, or maybe it has something to do with the world building. Like, if you're going to do something like that, make sure everything feels... I don't know if this is necessarily like a romanticy tip or if it's just like a fantasy tip. Like, I mean, not saying like romanticy obviously can't have a wondrous, amazing world. That's not what I'm mm-hmm. saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we are clearly there more for the romance, I feel like, with like a fantasy backdrop.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is it's just a tired trope. The like, I hate you because you're my enemy, but we're going to fall in love. Like, it's just, you That's know exactly fair. How it's going to go. And it's
cliche.
Done so often. And also, at least for me, like, I see that. And then I think of like Romeo and Juliet, where these uh-huh. enemy families met each other and fell in love instantly. No concern for like their family war at all. And I'm like, well, uh-huh. why can't you do that?
Yeah. Why isn't that mm-hmm. the one that happened?
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Okay. So I know we're talking about a romance trope, like insta-love, and then perhaps by extension, insta-hate. But what do you guys think of like two characters that are not romantically involved at all, will not be romantically involved? They're just two characters that are rivals and immediately hate one another. They're just friends. Well, eventually they will be friends.
So you just have like, you just have the rivals to friends or like mutual respect kind of plots. First off, there will be so much fanfic written about them in which they get together.
Yes.
Well, yes, of course. But do you have more space for that or no?
No, I don't. I think it's just the insta hate. Like I hold grudges with the best of them, but I don't think I've ever just like had one encounter with someone and then held a vendetta against them for the rest of my life, you know? Like, it feels unrealistic to me to have this insta-hate of, like, one thing happens and then you're my sworn enemy.
Yeah.
And so, if it's a big enough thing, or if I believe it, or if the character is proven to be impulsive, which is not my favorite character type, but if they're proven to be impulsive and, like, this happens, then I'm like, okay, I believe it. But in general, I feel like you see these protagonists who have to be like relatable and likable, so they're at least kind of intelligent and like kind of emotionally aware, and then they fall into these insta hate traps, whether it's with a romantic partner or an eventual friend or even someone they fall there, it's an enemy for the rest of the book. Like, I don't believe it because it's not realistic.
Right. Okay.
I'm thinking more about basically competition anime, where there's frequently your main character protagonist. You like, you know, battle anime, competition anime, whatever. You have your main character protagonist who is the one that you're rooting for, and there's someone else who is their sworn rival. And that's like a whole, that's like a very established trope in anime. I know we have it in like Western.
Yeah, like in sports movies and stuff.
Yeah, sports movies and things like that. And usually the way this goes, like they might have a mutual respect for each other right along, or that might come later. It depends. But you frequently do have main character protagonist who's usually some version of an ideal person who's trying to win because they want to be the very best like no one ever was, something like that. Actually, yeah, okay, it could be either way. Usually one of them is an obsessive type. Like, they're a person who is just so obsessed, and they're obsessed particularly with their rival. Because they want to be better than that guy specifically. And that might be your main character. In Pokemon, it was actually the other way around. Like, I don't think Gary cared that much whether Ash was better than him or not, but Ash very much wanted to be better than Gary. I'm okay with that. Like, I think that done well, that character in a lineup makes sense and can make for more of a story, especially if you're doing that type of story that is like battle anime, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel like that doesn't quite fill the same shoes as Insta-Hate for me, because there is implied background.
Sometimes they do form those opinions rather quickly, though, purely because they're rivals and that person is better than me. And that's a reason that I'll buy. And it does frequently translate to a kind of Insta-Hate.
But. Yeah, I wonder if we don't accept that because it's like an established anime trope for those kinds of things. Like Naruto and Sasuke, classic. Like, well, at least for Sasuke, like Insta-Hate. Or like rivals, they immediately become... Well, not even that, because Naruto's like, you're my rival. And Sasuke's like, who are you? And then, so I don't know if that's quite the same thing. But I feel like, yeah, in sports anime or like competition anime, it's like, for sure, an immediate thing where like, oh, I know what this is. It's not very believable usually because these characters like meet each other. They lock eyes. There's a little gleam in each of their like eyes.
Yeah. Become so established that like that anime is just sort of like wink, you know what we're doing now. I don't know what to make of that. It feels lazy writing, but it could also be expedient because you're not wasting your audience's time.
Because I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, if you look too closely at it, it's for a lot of them, it's like, oh, wait a second. Why though? They just looked at each other wrong. And then from here on out, like they're sworn enemies and then they become friends at the end. But, you know, whatever.
Do you think that would translate to a novel or like a Western movie?
Maybe. I mean, like, again, going back to like some of the competition movies we have. Oh gosh, what was the one movie with the race car driver, the Formula One drivers? And oh God, what is it called?
I mean, I'm probably just lacking knowledge because I don't know a lot of sports movies or like Western media, actually, that would fall into this type of category.
It's fine.
Most of the sports movies I know, like the main characters don't start hating each other until one of them beats the other up, you know, which feels like a legitimate reason to hate somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think
it's see that they're rivals.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's true. I mean, I think what I'm thinking of is Rush. Where
I don't think I ever saw that.
It's a really good movie. But that's more of like, oh, this person might be better than me. I need to beat them. It's more rivals rather than they don't hate each other. Well, sometimes they do. But yeah, so this is a weird trope to define. Yeah, I don't think it translates as well because it's not mm-hmm. as established for sure. Mm-hmm. But I would think it's been done before or attempted. I just can't think of something with it clearly defined.
Would something where like two seniors fighting for valedictorian, like would that fall in that category?
Yeah, like would it? Would that be more rivals or more like do they actually hate?
Yeah, I don't know.
Depends on the story.
Also, that's true. Okay. I think Western media also more often goes the direction where like your main character is your good guy, even if they're not so good right now, and that other character who is their rival is a kind of bad guy. So they don't become friends at the end exactly. Right now, I'm thinking of Cars of all things. Like I'm thinking of Cars. You have Lightning McQueen and you have whatever the green car is. And they establish pretty quickly that like, you know, green car is like Lightning McQueen and the green car are pretty similar actually. They're both kind of self-centered jerks. And then Lightning McQueen goes on, like, you know, a journey on Route 66 or whatever and, like, becomes a better person because it's a kid's movie and this is the arc. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, later comes back and we just sort of see contrast between. So they're more foils for mm-hmm. each other rather mm-hmm. than. But, like, you do dislike the green car very quickly because even though Lightning McQueen is also a jerk, like, we're focusing on him. He's the main character.
Yes.
So it works that way. Mm-hmm.
But is there usually, I don't remember how Cars ended because I did not like that movie. I'm sorry, Disney. Please don't attack us.
I know it because my younger brother liked it a lot.
Okay. But do they, whenever those movies do crop up and let's say there is like a quote unquote villain character like that, maybe I'm just like misremembering a bunch of them, but is there usually some level of like, respect. We're not friends, but you beat me. Respect. Or am I thinking of maybe not Mighty Ducks or anything where it's like, well, clearly the other team is evil and like,
no, like you see, that's what I'm saying. That's what American media usually does is like the other team are bad usually. And they usually like hammer that point home. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe I just don't want to like,
and you also have your things like it. Never Back Down, where like at the end you get the like bro head nod from the bad guy.
Yes, okay. That's or, what like, I'm picking up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like the Karate Kid, where like even though Johnny is still kind of an asshole at the end, you see he's not quite as much of an asshole as his teacher.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah. There's some respect. So you do there.
Tend to get a little bit of that, especially if it's one on one character movies.
Uh huh. Yeah. So with that established.
With that established, what are your thoughts on enemies or rivals to lovers who immediately start liking each other? What are your thoughts on that?
What do you mean by that?
So when you have enemies, let's say, or people who, like two lovers who in the very beginning are like, you are my enemy, I hate you, how dare you look at me, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe even like they have... Let's say that it's established that, okay, I understand why you're enemies kind of thing. And they hate each other. But then on chapter 3, they immediately start liking each other. Like, what do you guys think about, like, okay, this book said it was enemies to lovers, but it only lasted for like 3 or 4 chapters.
Yes. Basically.
Yes.
That feels like a cop out.
This is why we should not categorize books by tropes.
Okay. Easy enough.
Like Ray said, it feels like a cop-out, and your book would have to be about something else, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel like a lot of times those books that say they're enemies to lovers are really just code for this has banter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have encountered... Yeah. Yep. So they immediately start liking each other and they might even backslide, like in chapter 10, let's say they're like, no, we're enemies, but I kissed you that one time and I liked it, but I'm not going to say it because you suck. And then like the next chapter, they're already making out again.
I can't with those. I just, nope.
But why is it so prevalent?
Because drama.
Weirdly, that doesn't bother me as much as some of the other things we've talked about. Like, it's still not great, but...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm, like, thinking specifically of Fourth Wing, because they kind of do that to an extent. Like, you that know... you go in knowing Zayden is hot and he's the love interest, but, like, it's... Yeah, they do go back and forth a little bit, but there was enough other cool things going on, and, like, they were 19 or however old they were, so I'm like, okay, yeah, you're still young and dumb, it's fine.
I was still here for it, but there were times where I was just, like, kind of annoyed, and...
I guess I'll have to read the book and find out. And
okay, yeah, Ray.
Yeah, it didn't bother me as much as it bothered other people, and I don't know if I could say why that is necessarily, other than it felt right for the characters.
Okay.
Would disagree, but I think that's more of a personal preference. That was fair. Like, yeah. I mean, I got over it because then I was like, oh, it's fine. I'm here now. And dragons and cool. I thoroughly enjoyed the story, but that annoyed me a little in the beginning.
I guess I didn't really go in expecting like a well fleshed out complex relationship dynamic, you know? I'm like, we're here for new adult romanticy, let's go.
That's fair. Okay, so speaking of Fourth Wing, in Fourth Wing it is very spicy. How do you feel about insta-love, where a character is immediately physically attracted to the other person? What's something you like and dislike about it?
Like, if they're just attracted to someone immediately, that feels believable. You can be attracted to someone instantly.
Super believable. Is there any, like, very natural thing, but is there anything where that would be, like a weakness of the story?
It gets annoying if, like, we're 3 pages in and the main character is like, oh my gosh, he's so hot and his cock is so big and I would just love to, like, and just goes on and on. I'm like, okay, it's way too early in the story for that.
I understand why that. I have to be up for, in the mood for smut, if that makes sense. Because if I try and read smut when I'm just, like, not... Like, I'm just sort of like, do we have to talk about that? So, okay. I don't know. I think it's a good way for, like, if a book is going to be erotic, I think it is good for them to have early in the story, basically signaling that's the kind of book this is. So you get descriptions where it's like, oh my God, my core tightened, my mouth went dry. Like, just whatever. You get those physical descriptions that might be a little... TMI in other contexts, but it signals to the reader very quickly, oh, it's going to be this kind of book. Okay.
Yes. It makes a promise to the reader. Like, we will see more of this, which I appreciate it. I appreciate that there's like, oh, an indication for what's to come. The only like real, I obviously am like, yeah, of course, Insta-lust. Okay, cool. I'm here for it. But if things go too far, sometimes I feel like I get bored because a lot of times if we are talking about those novels where, okay, the first chapter, immediately they are like hot and heavy and like, oh, cool, one night stand, just kidding. Then there's like chapters in between, like chapters upon chapters where it's like, nothing. And I get needing a break from it, but when you come out of the gate with, oh, and blah 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 blah, his abs, my core tightened, my mouth, you know, went dry, it's like, okay, I was here for that, but then now,
but then they stop, so it feels like you've been lied to. It's like, no, wait a minute.
So it's all about pacing and timing, and I think sometimes it's hit or miss for me.
I will say there is one thing that I've seen work, which is kind of like a two negatives make a positive, in which you get insta lust where they hook up in the first chapter and then one of them regrets it, and then they get a little bit of the insta hate for the next like 4 or 5 yes. 6 chapters. Oh my gosh, I think can work.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, that's true. Maybe that's the formula you need. But yeah, a lot of the times I feel like it's just for me, maybe this isn't everyone, but I'm like, oh, I already got a taste for this. And then now we're almost near the end and they haven't done anything else. Oh, what's going yeah. on?
Here it signals yeah, that. No. And then it just isn't that kind of book for most mm-hmm. of it. Like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, the books that have like one chapter of smut and nothing else are the uh-huh. weirdest things.
Yep. What do you guys feel? How do you guys feel about the most of the book, like 90% of the book? It's like, oh, okay, like there's some, you know, attraction, some indication, but no, like completely closed door, like completely clean, and then whoa, out of the blue, there's a chapter where like, oh wow, they're going hard. They're hot and heavy and like, wow, all these details.
It just feels like suddenly you're reading a different story because it's honestly, it's just so stylistically different. Because if you mm-hmm. had something that was very I guess you could say like telling or sparse detail without that much like description of physical, like not that much sensory detail, and then suddenly you go to something that's heavily intimate and sensory detail focused, and it's like, whoa, wait, this is a different book.
Uh-huh. So yeah, like Ray was saying, like I have to be in the mood for smut to like for it to work because it's such a weird thing to read.
It is.
And so if I've like I'm 70% into a book and it's like been normal for this entire book, and then all of a sudden you get like 2 straight chapters of just like really intimate description, you're like, this is not what I signed up for. Like I was not expecting this. I don't want this.
Uh-huh. Like I appreciate the books where you can tell when you're like ramping up to that scene or not, because then I know not to read this in public because that just feels so awkward.
Uh-huh. It's true. Again, going back to promises being made in the beginning. Like, oh, this should indicate what to expect. A little taste. It doesn't need to go all the way.
No.
Just
just tip me off. Like, oh, this is this kind of book. Cool. Noted.
But yeah, in like normal books, like looking at someone and being like, oh my gosh, you're hot. This is going to kick off a romance. Like, that is how it should go because that's generally what happens in real life, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm here for that kind of insta-lust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally here for that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to think of like, oh, well, is there any like downside to it? And I'm like, yes, of course.
Uh-huh. There's a downside to everything if you think hard enough.
That's fair.
I mean, someone has like any trope or story mechanic, someone has done it poorly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking of doing it poorly or maybe doing it well. Lastly, how does one write insta-love well?
This is an unpopular opinion, but I think Twilight actually did it really well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you're in Bella's perspective, you're in here like, ooh, that guy's really hot and kind of interesting and keeps looking at me. And then, like, a little bit later, you're like, oh, I talked to him, and he's kind of interesting, and he's still hot. And then, like, a little bit later, oh, I talked to him again, and there's more mystery, and oh, he might be a vampire, but he's still hot. And, like, it builds little by little. And if you do think about it, like, you're like, oh, they're, like, 3 weeks into a relationship, and just, like, they're in it for life. That's a little bit weird. But in the, like we were talking about the screen time and the pacing of the story, it feels long enough that you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is progressing at a normal-ish pace. It's still a little fast, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's basically how you write insta-love well, is just enough of a believable arc.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a 3-part breakdown for this. So, first off, as we've mentioned, insta-love happens fast. So if you're going to have the insta-love trope, your story tension needs to come from somewhere else. So with Romeo and Juliet, the tension is in that they can't be together, not do they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. So first it has to be like the type of story that insta-love works in. So with that established, you also have your characters. Are they the type of characters that insta-love could happen to? So I believe it more if they're naive and impulsive. Like, if you give me a cynical character and try to play insta-love with them, I'm going to have a hard time accepting that. Because even if they find the would-be love interest super attractive and they seem to get along really well immediately, for the cynical character, that's just a huge red flag. Like, they could be super attracted to someone and they could seem perfect, but that's just going to make your cynical character super suspicious of them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, right kind of story, right kind of characters. And the last thing is, like, how do they fall instantly for someone? So for the naive, impulsive characters, it's pretty simple. It might just be as simple as the love interest is exactly their brand of hot. And if the characters are a little more experienced than that, it might mean they have to, like, have great chemistry immediately. So something has to make the love interest stand out for the given character's personal idiosyncrasies. And those are my three parts that I came up with how to make insta-love work in a story.
Those are very good points. I would ask your last point that I think there's also a way to have, like, even more than just, like, someone who appeals to the main character's, like, quirks, like having someone who's, like, I don't know, he goes and saves a puppy. I keep coming back to puppies. I don't know why. But he goes and saves a puppy and she's like, oh, like, that was a great thing. Like, I love dogs, like that. That kind of thing works. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like their quirks match up. It can be some kind of, like, he perform some kind of heroic act and she's like, oh yeah, okay,
yeah. No, it just I think you have to do more work if your character isn't like a naive emotional teenager.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I kind of want to give a tip for after, like, okay, so I'm thinking of the story, quote unquote, insta-love, where two characters are maybe attracted to each other, but don't feel like they're in love with each other immediately. But they form an attraction over a short period of time. And I feel like in order to maybe write characters that I think you can do this well by having the other character, the main character perhaps, or even the other character notice things about their love interest that maybe other people don't notice. Like, oh, I noticed that you weren't here at this, you know, this morning at the meeting. Or, oh, you do this thing with your hands when you're, like, nervous. And so I think, like, those little, like, just paying attention to the other character and alerting the reader, like, oh, this character is at least attracted to this other person and remembers, maybe, like, what they've said, remembers what's important to them. I feel like that gets me to believe that these characters could be together. And then also, I feel like what would be nice is if, trust. Having a character potentially reveal a secret that they've never told anyone else to the other character. And I feel like this happens over and over in stories, but whenever I think of, a character revealing a secret or revealing something that they would normally tell another person, I tend to believe that these characters could be with one another more than if, I guess it's all the devil is in the details kind of thing, but doing something like that would work.
So those are some really good ways to basically show them being interested in each other and show them bonding with each other instead of just like jumping straight to, yes, I love you. I love you. I would die for you.
Right. And this can be done in a relatively short amount of time. Not necessarily, again, screen time, but more of like, oh, they've known each other for a week, but, you know, they've been through some stuff, or they've shared a little bit of themselves with each other, or they've noticed each other. And I don't know, it makes me accept it more.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think that is a good point. Like, you can't just tell us characters are in insta-love unless, like, it's your first page and you're like, these characters fell in love. But, like, if you're going to do it quickly, you have to show it, and you have to show it in a way that's believable and not just be like, oh my gosh, and then I fell in love with him. And you're like, but why though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think another thing to keep in mind with this is that you want to pay attention to the depth of the love. Like we mentioned kind of near the beginning, like, you're not going to go immediately from, oh, you're kind of hot, to I would die for you. It takes a little bit longer to build up that trust. So, like, you could potentially go from, oh, you're hot, to I want to date you. But you got to go in the, like, prescribed steps of how human beings interact.
Yes. And that's our episode. Listeners, did you love our podcast from the beginning, or were we more of a slow burn? Email us at totropernottotrope@gmail.com and let us know. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another trope. Thanks for listening to Trope or Not to Trope, and happy writing!